preaching time. When I was a boy, I've told you this before, I watched my 6'4" or 5" granddad justice of the peace of the county in which Reed Springs was the county seat. I washed him with a bucket out in the barnyard for about an hour and a half, with an old young cow holding that bucket of grain saying, "Here, bossy. Here, bossy. Here, bossy." And that cow would sidle up. It had put its foot in the bucket of milk while my granddad was milking. So he got a bucket of grain, and for an hour and a half, I think, more or less, he takes that grain. "Here, bossy. Here, bossy." Finally, that cow, you know, the way they do their head, sidled up to that bucket to tentatively take a bite. And he took that bucket with a full overhand. Bam! Down between the ears of that cow, and it just boom, it was down like that. Granddad set the bucket down and walked in the house with the biggest smile on his face. I never have forgotten that. Ever. Now, the grand and glorious society of nuts, cowards, fruits, and asteroid orifices call the FCC has put their foot in the bucket. And the "Here, Bossy" begins. About once a year I preach some sermons. Turn that off. Turn this on. One of those I preach quite often because the occasion calls for it. Here's page 594 in my Bible, if you have one like mine. The book of Esther. Yeah. "Now it came to pass." Something about messages regarding bureaucrats, it's always good to begin with, "It came to pass." You got that, didn't you? "Now it came to pass." Otherwise known as bureaucratic routing. Or should we say rooting? "Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus." Sometimes I think God lets the bureaucrats show their true colors so he can have this message preached. "Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus." This is Ahasuerus, which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia, over 127 provinces. Big deal. "That in those days when King Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom," which is what most bureaucrats do, sit, "which was in Shushan," the palace, "in the third year of his reign, he made a feast. showed the riches of his glorious kingdom, the honor of his excellent majesty, many days. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan the palace, both great and small, seven days in the court of the garden of the king's palace. They gave him drink in the vessels of gold, royal wine in abundance. On the seventh day, verse 10, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded me human. There are lots of me humans in the court of the king. You have to name them that way or you'd never know. Can't you see one of these bureaucrats coming up and saying, I'd say, my name's Gene Scott. Who are you? Me human. One would never know, would one? Bizda, Harbona, Bigtha, and Abagtha, Zephar, and Carcass. Now, if that ain't a bunch of bureaucrats for you, I'll go you one. And he commanded all these, mind you, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look upon. But women's lib didn't originate in this century. I don't know, you know, some of these women's lib are listening to me. I can help them. They ought to make a saint out of Vashti. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment. Therefore the king was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, what the hell am I going to do? That's verse 15. No sense taking all day to read this ancient King James. Verse 16, and Memucan. Now there's another one. Memucan. First case of AIDS. Answered before the king and the princes, Vashti, the queen, has not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and all the people that are in all the provinces of the king. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women. And when they find out one can get away with it. What I've been telling you, men, you know, there's a little bit of this me, I got to confess. Thank God for grace. When this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes, when it shall be reported the king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes which have heard of the deed of the queen, thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. Let a commandment go forth. This broad shall not come before the king again. I took care of the next five verses. Now let's find a new wife for the king. Chapter 2. Let there be fair young virgins sought for the king. The old reprobate, they'd jump at any chance to start over again. Let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom. Gather together all the fair young virgins under Shushan the palace. The company of Hegi, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women. And let their things for purification be given them. You know, nowhere in the Bible does it say that about a man. Nowhere. You try to find it in the Bible. Just women. Let their things for purification be given them. I don't want to know any more than that. Let's go on. Now, in Shushan the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite. He had been carried captive. That's the next verse. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter. She had neither father nor mother. And the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So it came to pass when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together into Shushan the palace to the custody of Hegai, that Esther was brought also. Now, the story's long, but the message is going to get right to the point. Unto the king's house. The maiden pleased him. She obtained kindness, and he speedily gave her the things for purification. And he preferred her and her maids to the best place of the house of the women. Esther had not showed her people, did not reveal, that is, that she was a Jew. But Mordecai had charged her she should not show it. And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. But let's make it short. Esther found favor with the king, and verse 17 says, the king loved Esther above all women. She obtained grace and favor in his sight. He set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. In those days, this is very important, verse 21, kind of a little footnote on the chapter. I warn you, I'm not even started yet. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door were wroth and sought to lay hands on the king Ahasuerus. The thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. When inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out, therefore they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of Chronicles before the king. Now, this is very important, because what it becomes is a proof of Mordecai's basic loyalty to the government and to the king. And when traitors would have killed the king, Mordecai, the man of character, revealed it, and the king's life was spared because of Mordecai. We're not dealing with a traitor here. We're dealing with a man of principle. Traitors have no principles. After these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Federal Communications Commission chairman. And advanced him, set his seat above all the commissioners and petty bureaucrats of the agency thereof, known as the FCC. Tell you, the Bible's got everything in it. And all the king's servants that were at the king's gate, those seeking to advance through that petty bureaucracy, bowed in reverence. Power. Haman. Foul Haman. For the king had so commanded concerning him. We've had people come visit us with just as funny names. Antichristman. Dizzy Dick. Powell out. Why is it that bureaucrats always have these funny names? You ever notice that about them? So God binds the mind of their parents and gives them a name like Dizzy Dick. How'd you like to go through life Dizzy Dick? Fowler. Makes you want to put on a gas mask. All you have to do is listen about 10 minutes today and you'll find out why they want me shut up. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass when they spoke daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand. For he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. I'm still angry at a judge, but more angry at an attorney for not saying. But, you know, I guess it might have risked contempt in court, so I shouldn't ask too much. But a judge said back in Washington, D.C. a few months back, don't you realize that this license is a privilege granted to you by the FCC? And they can ask what they want. I wish I could try my own case, because I'd love to have said, Your Honor, don't you realize that you sit as a representative of a government that was granted the privilege to exist only so long as it recognized there are certain rights that are inalienable, neither given by nor taken from us by government, but from God alone? Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. And if it had meant jail cell for contempt, I would have added the footnote, Sir, with all due respect, you sit on that bench as a privilege grant of the people for whom this government was created. Let's get privileged straightened out, going out the gate. All I ask of you folks, give me $236 million a year to say that on that platform. I don't want to raise money for any holy bathtubs. I want it for a platform built for the choking of Hamans. What do you got in mind? That's a secret. You'll find out after it's done to him. When Haman saw, what did he do? He didn't bow. What has this church done? Nothing. Nothing. The Solicitor General signed the papers that went to the Supreme Court Justice Berger for a stay. He didn't read them, he signed them. In it, the old hack accusations. We're dodging serious charges. Which ones? We didn't build a fountain of faith. We had a woman climbing it the other day. Tell the firemen of Glendale it doesn't exist. We didn't buy lights. We didn't buy microphones. That's what these are, but you know, you can't expect a Haman to know it. You'd use it for something else. What can you do with perverts? They haven't thought above their waist in years. Sit down on the table. Get comfortable. When Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nothing makes a bureaucrat as mad as refusing to bow. Have you ever been in the army and one of these jackleg lieutenants just out of West Point comes by? Sir! Get that from Jerry Falwell's pulpit. We'd be free men. Bureaucrats hate that. When Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone. For they had showed him the people of Mordecai. He wasn't satisfied. He scorned the idea of just getting Mordecai. For they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. Once you fail to bow to a bureaucrat, they go so blind with offended ego rage, and stoop so low that they grab all the instruments of trusteeship, power that's supposed to be used for the benefit of the people. Now they're going to hurt everybody they can. You, the people of Los Angeles, across this nation. Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's laws, therefore it's not for the king's profit to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to keep it in the king's treasuries. And the king, oh, how these people love to talk about the good of the government. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jew's enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given unto thee. Letters were sent, verse 13 says, to all provinces to destroy, to kill, and cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day. Even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for prey. Now, the message is simply to say, there was an emptiness today as many of you drove to church and could not turn on a faithful voice that's been an institution in Los Angeles. But let me put it in perspective. God's a past expert at dealing with this kind of stuff. We've advanced somewhat. There is no edict to destroy all of you, men, women, and children, and to take all your possessions as a spoil. Now, I can remember in the not-too-recent past when a very advanced and intelligent and educated society did that to a people in Nazi Germany. I'm also enough of a student of history to know that the churchmen of Germany, almost to a man, were brought to the conclusion they could have kept it from happening if they had spoken out sooner. There is a vast difference between the initial little joinder of cells that produce the embryo and the fully developed child that springs forth from the womb. But the roadmap is built into the embryo. There's a great difference between what this government is able to accomplish right now and a full-orbed, overpowering, abusive action of government like that in Nazi Germany. But the roadmap in the embryo is still the same. That failure to recognize that in this country, in theory, there was intended to be an objective ruler, a social contract granted by the people, growing out of the thinking of Rutherford, who had contested centuries of belief in the English-speaking world as he came forth with his marvelous tome, Lex Rex, instead of Rex Lex. The law is king, not the king is law. Until that shattering philosophic concept, the king was law. The agents of kings personally were the law. The Magna Carta, that marvelous instrument of freedom, was granted by the king and taken back and then granted again. 32 times This country under God's plan was conceived in the frame of reference of John Locke's social contract theory and the background of Rutherford's Lex Rex. And this government was not allowed to come into being until it was ready to recognize there are certain rights inalienable, given by God, that cannot be taken away by government. It is a mental midget or a corrupt man, and most likely the latter, so corrupted by power that he's forgotten his responsibility, that would dare to say that the Constitution is what the judges make it to mean in this modern society. The Constitution may have that quality to it, but these inalienable rights that spewed out of the pen of Thomas Jefferson were never intended to exist on the whim of 9 appointees of a federal president. They were said to exist before this country ever came into existence, and this country was allowed to come into existence because of the absolute binding guarantee that these rights would not be tread upon. That, my friends, is marvelous rhetoric, but it is simple BS in the minds of most people in government today, and they exist for one reason, and that's to find ways to get around it, while after having done it, they sing the songs of inapplicable use of such high and mighty phrases, and it's time that somebody with the power to put them in their place move on the scene with the principles in his bone marrow that will never allow those rights to be taken away from him. Anybody. Don't anybody get it in their head that I have decided to quit fighting. I just have decided to go back where their testicles hang and grab them when they ain't looking. This may be my last public speech on the subject until I stand in a different position. They lied on the Jews, but the king took his ring from his hand, gave it unto Haman. Any ruler is a constant sucker for someone who wants to increase his power. Now, the only antidote to power is more power. You'd be surprised how many high and mighty talkers of government will salivate over $10,000. Give me $250 million a year. You be the judge whether I'm smart enough to outmaneuver them. You be the judge. You be the judge. You've got a 10-year record. You be the judge whether my principles remain firm enough to not be fogged up by the opportunity to use power the right way. And having made that judgment, you give me the power. Not only will the fat lady not sing, I'll sing it myself. You say, well, what do you have in mind? $250 million a year. The rest's a secret. Letters were sent by post to all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children, women, one day. Post went out being hastened to the king's commandment. Decree was given in Shushan. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth of ashes, went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry. Now, the Bible faithfully reports. Everything. But I'm going to tell you, the sackcloth and ashes and bitter cries and prayer didn't do any more than a belch in a whirlwind. Now, some people read the Bible in little short stints. I read the whole thing. It didn't do anything to anybody except Esther, who loved him. Now, that was accomplished. But the thing that got the job done, ultimately, is Esther in the right place. Let's keep going. Every province whithersoever the king's commandment came, his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Now, I've practiced that for years. I've got a permanent taste of sackcloth and ashes in my nostrils. How many of you tasted sackcloth and ashes and they still turned it off? Not many preachers will say this because it's not party politics. You say, don't you believe in prayer? Yeah. But I want to make the point very clearly that by itself it didn't do a damn thing. Now, when you recover from the shock, I'll keep going. Don't you believe in prayer? I already told you. Yes. Trust in God and keep your powder dry. We're where we are today because you got a pastor that gets off of his knees as well as gets on them. And her chamberlains came and told it her, and the queen, exceedingly grieved, she sent raiment to call Mordecai and take away a sackcloth from him, but he received it not. I want to say it a third time and be done with it. I believe in prayer. I believe in faith mixed with prayer, which is action. And I believe that the church many times has failed to recognize that faith must be added, or prayer is futile and faith is action. I also believe that prayer must oil the machines of action. And I want you to understand that prayer is an important part of the ingredient, but the church for too long has just laid down and laid before the Lord and left God to do everything else. Now, then called Esther for Hatech, gave a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why he was acting that way. Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, the sum of money Haman had promised to pay the king's treasurers for the Jews to destroy him, gave a writing the decree to her. Esther spake again to Hatach, gave commandment unto Mordecai. I can't do anything about it, in essence. Because when I go in front of the king, if I'm not called there by his permission, anyone who goes into his presence without permission is killed. Now, we've failed to get an audience. In the 7 years we have fought, not once has our constitutional argument been heard. Not once. Not once has a court addressed the simple question: does the federal government have a right to force this church to give over to them the names and addresses and the amounts donated by each and every donor to this church. Not once has any court addressed that question. The first court said, bring it up at the hearing. Give us the names and addresses now. This is not the time to bring up the constitutional question. Give them to us now, and then at the hearing, bring it up, and if we decide it was wrong to ask for them, then we'll settle it there. Well, that's like telling a father, let him take the virginity of your daughter, and then we'll have a hearing later and decide whether it's right or not. Even with a Japanese doctor putting it back in, it's still second rate. I read. My answer as a father is, your instrument will be cut off before that happens. You say, well, you're pretty blunt, aren't you, for a preacher? About time they can't seem to understand anything I say. Maybe with a personal recording of this mailed to each of them, they'll get the message. Damn their souls to hell. Court address this question? Because they know what the answer will be. They don't have that right. They wanted to force me to say no at the line they knew I would draw. I surprised them by going with representatives of Mervyn Dimely's office in California and Jimmy Jones' office in Tulsa and carrying to Washington, D.C. the donation records of every donor to this church with the date and the amount given, which is all the government, if at all, should be concerned with, and the names and addresses of the particular donors blacked out. They wouldn't take that either. What they want is me shut up. Well, damn their souls to hell, that ain't going to happen. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then there shall be an enlargement. Once freedom goes, friend, think not that you'll be exempt. We have lost all legal battles, primarily because the churches of America were too gutless to stand up on this principle and see that if they get Scott, they'll get them. It's as old as that statement among the Nazis. They came for the communists, and I wasn't one of them, so I did nothing. They came for the socialists, and I wasn't one of them, so I did nothing. They came for the trade unionists, and I wasn't one of them, so I did nothing. They came for the Jews, and I wasn't one of them, so I did nothing. They came for me, and there was nobody to do anything for me. Think not you shall escape because you're in the king's house. You let news people call, and the FCC will deny. And they'll say they're dodging serious charges. Well, there ain't any. We've dodged. We answered every one. Is the fountain there or not? The light's there or not? The microphone's there or not? Does the roof leak or doesn't it? Fabrications. Rationales for a gluttony for power that fears someone who will not bow. I'll salute I will not bow. And if they act like they deserve it, I'll give them the motion as they go by. They bring it on themselves. Isn't that what freedom's about?
Yes, sir.
I read in a paper this past week, somebody said, all dissenters are terrorists. We're heading toward Antichrist, folks. And my Bible says the church is supposed to resist him. And I've been doing my little part. And I'm going to keep doing it until the Lord knows he has to take me home or Antichrist can't come to power. He already knows that about his true church. And that famous answer to Esther, don't think you can escape. If he's allowed to do this, eventually he'll get to you. And the answer, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Now, every time I've preached this sermon, and I've preached it several times, I have said, God has an Esther. Somebody up there that has the ear of somebody. And unless that Esther that has the ear of the power that is above Haman, we'll lose. But I always said, somewhere across this great network, there is an Esther that will step forward and recognize that God placed them in that spot to use their influence. And I'm telling you, there ain't no Esther. Therefore, I am asking you to let me fill both shoes. I'll be Mordecai, and you help me with my secret. If I have to go and drag, I'll be Esther. With one hand, I want to be Mordecai and gravel. With the other hand, you are looking at the future charmer of the century. And I want the world to ask the question, which one is the real Scott? They ain't going to know until the bucket lands in their soul. Now, I may go over 1 o'clock, but always before when I've preached, I have felt the identity with Mordecai and looked on with hope for the Esther to arrive. Now I'm going to look a bit more closely at Esther. My role of the future. I mean, I've always known women were superior beings. Thanks be to God, in my last years of ministry, I play the role of a superior being. So it was when the king saw Esther the queen standing in that court that she obtained favor in his sight. Now she had beauty. But there are other ways to get the king's attention. You give me my budget and you watch. Came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel, stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king. Can you imagine the disappointment of one of these horny old kings when he discovers Esther's in drag? I'll lead them along until the moment of unveiling. Now, it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel, stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne, the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter. I want to tell you something. Things have changed. All Esther has to do is carry the golden scepter in. You got it? You say, you believe in bribery? Hell no, I ain't that stupid. Just the knowledge you have it makes them act like male dogs around a bitch in heat. I want my last sermon on this subject to be very clearly understood. The king said unto her, "What wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be even given thee to the half of the kingdom." That beats wearing sackcloth and ashes any old day. And Esther answered, "If it seem good unto the king, let the king and the chairman come this day to my secret place that I have prepared for them." To my secret place that I have prepared for them. Then the king said, "Cause Haman to make haste, that he may do as Esther has said." So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And the king said of Esther at the banquet of wine, "71 Polak, 74 Mandavi Reserve, Cabernet Sauvignon." King said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, "What is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. What is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom shall be it performed." Then answered Esther and said, "My petition and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king." Now, not too often have I been given the opportunity to display it, but do you know that I can be very charming? "If I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition." See, I don't mind bowing in the tradition of my granddad. "Here, bossy. Let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I'll do tomorrow as the king has said. Come to my secret place a second time. You've only seen the beginning." Then went Haman forth that day joyful. We have Esther on my side with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, and he stood not up nor moved for him, it ruined his whole day. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself. When he came home, he sent and called for his friends and Zeresh, his wife. Her name means gold digger. And Haman told them of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children.
And all the things wherein the king had promoted him, how he had advanced him above the princes and servants of the king, Haman said, moreover, yea, after the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared but myself. That's what I'm going to do, bring him to a 25,000 square foot banquet hall. Just them and me. Put me in the right atmosphere, I can shine. I'm shy. Particularly if there's $250 million a year behind it. You want to win, folks? You want the last word, or you want to lay down and die? Then said Zeresh his wife and all his friends unto him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high. You know how high that is? 75 feet. Now Haman would be just as dead at 7 feet. But the bureaucrats have to hang him 75 feet for saying, no, you can't have the donor's records. Channel 30 worth about $10 to $15 million would have been sufficient slap on the wrist, don't you think? But no, they got to hang us $30 million high. Speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go merrily to the king unto the banquet. On that night, the king couldn't sleep. Commanded to bring the book of the records of the Chronicles, and they were read before him. They found written there what Mordecai had done. Remember what I told you, remember? Found in the Chronicles that Mordecai had saved his life. The king said, what honor and dignity have been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, there's nothing done for him. The king said, who's in the court now? Now Haman just happened to be coming into the courtyard at that moment to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows he had prepared for him. The king's servant said unto him, behold, Haman standing in the court. And the king said, let him come in. Here comes foul Haman. So foul Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth honor? And old foul Haman was sure it was him. So he described the honor he wanted. Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to do honor more than me? And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. Let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man withal whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor. I'll bet you that he had goosebumps on his buttocks already. He thought he was going to sit on that king's horse and ride. Then the king said to Haman, make haste and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Gene Scott, the free man. What is that? What I wrote right here in my Bible. And I wrote it right here. Make haste and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew. Then took foul Haman the apparel and the horse, and arrayed Mordecai, and brought him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaimed before him, thus shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Foul him, thus shall be done unto the man the king delighteth to honor. If I'd have been Mordecai and I'd seen Esther looking out the window, I'd have said, we've come a long way, baby. Telling you, God has the last word. Ain't over yet. Oh, Mordecai came again to the king's gate, but Haman hasted to his house, mourning and having his head covered. And Haman told Zeresh his wife and all his friends. Then said his wise men in Zeresh, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, thou shalt not prevail against him, shalt surely fall before him. And while they were yet talking with him, getting the bad news from his friends, came the king's chamberlains and hasted to bring Haman to the banquet that Esther had prepared. So the king and Haman came to the banquet with Esther the queen. The king said unto Esther on the second day, what is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. But Esther the queen answered and said, if I found favor in thy sight, O king, give me my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I'd held my tongue. Then the king answered and said to Esther, who is he, and where is he that durst presume in his heart to do this? And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Give me that moment, will you? Give me that moment. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. The king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen. Beg. Come unto me for mercy. Beg. And the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed where Aunt Esther was. He's trying to seduce her right there in the king's palace. You say you're going to lead him on that floor? If it gives me a better grip. Came in. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house? Once a bureaucrat, always a bureaucrat. Those who do not respect this constitution of ours are rats to the core of their being. And given the chance, their real colors will come out. I just want to be in the place to be able to do something about it. Will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And Harbona, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, behold also the gallows, 75 feet high, which Haman hath made for Mordecai. The king said, hang him thereon. Now, I've been sometimes humorous, at times deliberately crude. You don't use a feather duster to clean a barnyard. I needed to get all this out so I could start my charmer role.
The last chapter has not been written, folks. And I have decided there isn't any Esther up there, because it takes the same kind of courage to be an Esther that it does to be a Mordecai. And I feel like Cromwell, who led a revolution and finally in desperation said, if nobody else will govern this place right, I'll do it. I know exactly where to take this church until this never happens again. I'll make you a bet before I die. Not one station, but just so God's number of divine manifestation will be accomplished. I'll be ringing on radio 24 hours a day on three of them in this city before the last chapter is written. You just give me the break and I'll show you. And you help me prepare the banquet and the banquet hall. I'll perfume the bed. And when they get positioned, they will not be hanged by the neck. On that day did King Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jew's enemy, unto Esther the king, the queen. Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told him what he was unto her, and the king took off his ring, which he had given to Haman, gave it unto Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. And Esther spake yet again before the king, and fell down at his feet, and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite and his device. The king sent another decree, and that which Haman had decreed against the people was reversed. And to this day, they call these days, verse 26, chapter 9, Purim, after the name of Pur, which means lot. Therefore, for all the words of this letter and often of that which they had seen concerning this matter and which had come unto them. When you see the feast of Purim being kept by the Jews unto this day, know now that it's to commemorate the combined deeds of Mordecai and Esther that brought justice in that ancient court of Ahasuerus. And Haman was hanged on the scaffold he built for Mordecai. I'm not just here preaching today as a catharsis. I have a plan. I know how to execute the plan. It needs only one thing: your support. As we go into our 11th year, it's time that we decide that this ministry will lead in the records of financial support until I can have the foundation to win the victory for freedom and the power base to do it from, that God has proven through these trying days we will remain true to, no matter what the cost. There ain't no Esther. I think I'll sign my next painting, Jean Esther Scott. The key, we must fight. Are you glad you came?
Yes.
There is no looking back. No looking back. You help me. They will wish they had never built this scaffold. So we must fight. Come on now. So we must fight.
I keep praying.